welcome everyone to Parkway Health WeChat class. I'm pleased to introduce our special speaker tonight, Fariba Sabeh Saghi. Fariba is a Canadian trained dietitian with over 20 years of experience in the health and well-being education. She is a dedicated nutrition educator and a passionate lifestyle management counselor and life coach. Let's welcome Fariba.
Thank you, everyone. I'm pleased to be here, and I hope that we would have an interesting and learning experience together. This is the first time I attend this kind of class. So with all the anxiety around us, the first thing that we should focus on, how to naturally boost our immune system, not through medication, but through the food that we eat. So as an expert, I'm here to talk about not necessarily all the aspects of nutrition, but particularly concentrating on the relationship of certain kinds of food with our immune system. So let's start with looking at the immune system. And of course, you remember from school times, the different kinds or different organs that are involved in the protection of our body against the foreign invaders. The first level of these three lines of defense is our external, like skin, mucus, membranes, and all the products that would help with, first of all, stopping the invasion of foreign invaders like bacteria, like viruses, like fungi, and other harmful things to us. This is considered part of our non-specific response. Everyone has that, and to a great degree, they're all the same. They function the same. They're pretty simple mechanism of chemical and physical barriers. For example, our mucus. The second line of defense is the non-specific, what is called a native-born or innate defense system. This defense system is universal. We are born with it, and it's always there. The third layer is the specific kind of immunity that we develop after being exposed to certain pathogens, and then our body learns how to defend itself. So the acquired, the third kind of immunity is the one that we learn as we go along, as we get exposed to pathogens, we learn how to deal with them. And so we produce antibodies, and our white cells, especially T cells and B cells, which are defense mechanisms, they learn and they remember the memory of these antibiotics that have been produced. So this is basically what our immune system does. What weakens the immune system, basically, and remember this is very important, that 70 to 80% of our immune system is in our gut, really. And so this is why nutrition becomes so important in order to provide a very good, healthy immune system. So they come from too much sugar, they come from processed food, they come from hydrogenated oils and saturated oils and so on. So obesity itself becomes a big factor in weakening the immune system. Next, very important factor would be stress. The more stress we have, the more cortisol and corticosteroid we produce, and these would cause us to either suppresses the work of our immune system or it weakens it, and so we would not be able to defend ourselves well. So tonight we are going to concentrate on two different parts of this. The first part would be our dietary intake, and the second part would be about lifestyle and things that we have to pay particular attention to. Again, when I talk about dietary factors, remember these are not about diets for everything and everyone. Many people have particular conditions, heart problems, cholesterol problems, diabetes, cancer, and so on. And so those have special needs as far as nutrition is concerned. We are going to concentrate on immune system. So generally speaking, for having optimal health in our life, we need to pay attention to several factors. We have to think about our emotional intelligence. We have to think about mindfulness. We have to think about activity, relaxation, and so on and so forth. So let's start with nutrition. But in the beginning, okay, the science of nutrition, we have two main elements. One is macronutrients and one is micronutrients. So let's start with macronutrients. Macronutrients are larger amount, things that we need to consume in large amounts. So there are three groups: proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. Let's look at each one of them separately. The first thing is about proteins. So the advice is to get enough protein. Why is protein important? It's because proteins are, they have amino acids. They are the building blocks of various kinds of enzymes and cells and antibodies and everything else that happens in our body. So if we do not have these basic blocks, then we would not be able to put them together and form what we need at the time. A balanced diet means that we need to have enough protein. An average adult person needs about 4 portions of proteins, and one portion would be about 100 grams of meat. It could be beans, it could be nuts or seeds, it could be coming from cheese and meat, dairy products, etc. So let's look at some sources of protein. We have two types of proteins, proteins that come from animal sources. So animal sources of proteins are from meat, chicken or birds, or fish and seafood, and the products of these groups. Things like eggs, like dairy, like fish, eggs, and so on and so forth. These are considered to be complete protein because they have all the essential amino acids. So this is very important. The second group are from vegetable sources. They come from seeds, they come from nuts, from beans, pulses, they come from these kinds of vegetable products. The difference between these protein and animal proteins, that vegetable proteins are not complete protein. So for vegetarian or vegetable source proteins, they are incomplete, so you need to eat them together. So for example, you eat nuts with pulses, or you eat nuts with beans, or you eat beans with pulses in order to complete and have all the essential amino acid at the same time. Once you eat the right kind of proteins, then second group would be fats. Fats and oils are very important because remember that both in our stomach and in our immune system, fats build the layers around the cells. And so they have to be very carefully considered. We have three kinds of fats: saturated fats that come from animal or animal product. We have unsaturated fat. Unsaturated fat come from vegetable sources, and they are considered to be better fats. For example, you know, from seeds, from nuts, from avocado, from olives, and so on and so on. The third kind of fat, which is a very harmful fat, is called trans fats or hydrogenated fats. These fats are man-made fats. They are not natural fats. They have been created for industrial production of food. They are very beneficial because they increase the shelf life of products that use these kinds of oil. They improve the taste. They add flavor and longevity to the product. And so every product, almost everything that it is produced outside of your kitchen most probably has trans fats. And fortunate fact about trans fats is that it is very harmful. It increases your bad cholesterol and it really harms your immune system. The third group to consider after proteins and after fats are carbohydrates. Now, carbohydrates have become the big bad wolf of diet world these days. Everyone is talking about no carbs or low carbs and all of that. So I have to defend them a little bit. Now, like everything else, there are not all carbohydrates have been created equal. There are some good carbohydrates and there are some bad carbohydrates. There are really two kinds when we are talking about carbohydrates. We are talking about simple carbs and complex carbs. So what do we mean by simple carbs? Simple carbs are basically things that are sugary in nature. You could feel and taste the sugar in them. So we use them for the table sugar is one. In Coca-Cola or drinks of that nature, you have several spoonful of sugar in order to give it that flavor. You could see it in all the junk food. They use these kinds. So it is very simple and immediately becomes energy in your body. And then your insulin goes up and there is a whole lot of science behind that. I have to make one exception. Fruits and vegetables are really simple food, simple carbohydrates. But because they have lots of fiber, it's their saving grace. So they become more complex. So we put them not in bad and desirable group, but we put them in the other group. We include them in other group, which is called complex carbohydrate. Although they are not complex themselves, but they are in complex group because of the fiber that they carry. The complex carbohydrate would be the whole grain, whole rice. It would be like brown rice. It would be oatmeal. It would be whole wheat and so on and so forth. In addition, there would be potato, sweet potato, and all the products that we make from flours, different kinds, pastas and noodles and things like that. So those are more complex unless you remove their fiber. If you remove their fibers, then they become simple carbs. So, for example, you could take one slice of bread. Originally, a whole wheat bread would be a complex carbohydrate, which is healthy. But if you remove the fiber in that slice of bread to make it white bread, then it becomes simple carb and it would become harmful. So there is a distinction between different kinds of carbs. Now that we talked about the macronutrients, we are going to go to micronutrients. Micronutrients are nutrients that we need in small amount, very little. There are lots of different kinds of minerals that our body needs, and you would not see it in this list. This list is particular to immune function. Remember that. So the things that we need to consider, there are four vitamins and two minerals. These include beta-carotene, which is the plant base of vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D, and vitamin E. And the minerals are zinc and selenium, which are very unique to immune system. I don't mean they are unique, but they are very useful to the health of the immune system. So let's see what are these food groups. Let's start with vitamin A and beta carotene. This beta carotene is the, as I said, is the vegetable source. So in the body, our body takes both of them and turns into vitamin A when it's necessary. But for immune function, beta carotene itself is also very important. So what are the functions of vitamin A? We all know it for vision and for gene transcription, but it is particularly important in our immune system, especially for development of the immune in fetus, for example. Okay, so what are the food that are rich in beta carotene? This is an interesting fact of nature. All orange fruits and vegetables are very high in beta carotene. So from carrots, we know for eye health, to cantaloupes and apricots, to pumpkin and peaches and mangoes and all of that. In addition, there are some green vegetables, you could guess. Spinach and kale and broccoli are very high in beta carotenes. The next vitamin is vitamin C. We all know about the multitude of uses and benefits of vitamin C in our diet. But particularly, again, it helps. It is one of the antioxidants that protects the cell from damage. It helps your liver detoxify. It reduces heavy metals from accumulating in your system. And it particularly is necessary for repair of body tissue, for example, when there is a sickness and all of that. And so it is a very important. Also, it promotes adrenal gland and enzyme and the hormones that it produces. So vitamin C plays a very essential role. So most people know about citrus fruit, but they might not know about all the other sources, including kiwi, red bell peppers, papaya, pineapple, strawberries, and did you know that broccoli and cauliflower and onions are amongst the vegetables that have high vitamin C content? Okay, the next vitamin that it is particularly important in the defense of the body is vitamin D. Now, it is very interesting just to know that almost every single one of your like leukocytes or white blood cells have a vitamin D receptor. And one of the first things that harmful bacteria or viruses do, they want to block this vitamin D receptors. So you could see how important the role of vitamin D is, that this is the first defense against our immune system. So we could boost it by making sure that our diet has enough vitamin D. Fortunately, we live in times when, because of the pollution, on best source, which is the sunshine, it is not necessarily always available. Also, the way that we live these days, we are spending most of our time indoors rather than outdoors. So most of us spend the time when there is sun outside within the buildings, in our offices and all of that, so we do not have access to vitamin D. And so we have to make sure, right now, WHO, World Health Organization, asks for all children to be supplemented with vitamin D because almost all children that have been studied, they have shown that they do not get enough vitamin D. As far as adults are concerned, majority of people, especially in China where there is this question of pollution and all of that, most adults need to have a vitamin D supplement. So that is one particular consideration. So besides natural sunlight, we could get some vitamin D from our food, which basically comes from the food that is fortified, such as cereals, for example, or milk and milk products, like butter and cheese. And it, to a very smaller extent, some beans would have a little bit, and sardines or fatty fish. So we talked about vitamin A, or rather beta-flavonoid, beta-carotene. We talked about vitamin C, D, and now we're going to go and talk about zinc. Well, zinc is one of the gatekeepers of immune function. What does that mean? So remember, these are minerals. The amount of minerals that we need, except for calcium, but we need substantial amount, all the minerals are needed in small amounts. So what does that mean? That means that the deficiency develops not over 1 week or 2 weeks or 1 month. It is a long-term thing. What happens if you are zinc deficient? So if you do not have enough zinc in your system, it leads to overproduction of pro-inflammatory agents and mediators. So that means that your body would have more inflammation. Inflammation is a sign of weakness, in this case, of your immune system. How is that? It's because your thymus, because of the zinc deficiency, it atrophies, it loses ability to produce enough of T cells. Remember, we have three kinds of T cells, which are primary fighters, if you want, in the defense in our immune system. We have helper Ts, we have killer Ts, and we have memory Ts that would remember the memory of the antibodies that we create. So then we would not have enough of them. Also, it would attack our B cells. B cells also are our immune, most foot soldiers, if you want, of our immune system. So it attacks both sides, both B cells and T cells. So what are the food that... So pumpkin seeds, watermelon seed, seafoods like oysters, meat and salmon, and particularly dark chocolate are very good sources of zinc. So treat yourself tonight to a small piece of dark chocolate. Not all chocolates, it's dark chocolate, more than 70-72% cocoa. Not many people know about selenium. So, but however, when we talk about immunity and improving our immune system, selenium plays a very, very particular and important role. In addition to our immune system, it helps with our thyroid regulation, it anti-diabetic agent, and so on and so forth. So it's a very, very important mineral, although it is not well known. The food that are particularly rich in selenium, you could have eggs, for example. Again, sunflower seeds are very good. Mushrooms are excellent sources. Brazil nuts are very good sources of selenium. But regularly pork, of all the other meats, pork is the highest level, and then fatty fish like tuna and salmon. So generally speaking, if you are going to have a variety in your diet, it's guaranteed that you're going to get some of these. So it doesn't mean that you have to eat everything every day, but this is the key to having a good nutrition, is to make sure that in your weekly plan for your meal plans for the week, you include a diversity of different colors and shapes and different kinds of food, and so to make sure that you have enough of these food. Okay, so remember that I said that about 70 to 80% of our immune system comes from our gut. So let's discuss a little bit about what it is in our gut that creates this and is so effective. So there are about 100 trillion microorganisms that live inside our gut, right? And so some people actually started, this is relatively new science. We have not been paying attention to the gut as such an important part of our body. If anyone asked what is the most important organ, you would immediately say brain or heart. Did you know that your gut is now called your second brain? Because the connection between your mood and your memory and all of the function of brain is directly linked to the microorganism in your gut. So it is very important to keep this gut healthy. So it is a very complicated system of how really lot of the negative bacteria or pathogens that come, they enter from your nasal cavity and they go through your esophagus and they go to your stomach and then they are attacked by the microbial. To make it a little bit simpler, for example, there is a lot of angiogenesis that happens in the stomach, development of many of the cells for phagocytes, for example, that your microbiome in your stomach takes the fiber and make particular fatty acids and things and creates these fighting machines. So protection against pathogens, modulation of nervous system, all of this happens in your stomach. Imagine. So we should be more respectful of our stomachs. So how to improve our gut health? There are certain things that we can do. For example, the more fibrous vegetables and fiber we get in our diet, the better chance for survival of good bacteria in our body and reduction of bad bacteria. This is why we want to introduce prebiotics and probiotics. Eliminating sugars and simple carbohydrates that feed the bad bacteria. So instead we give it complex carbohydrates and proteins and other means to feed the good bacteria, for example. And also to reduce all sort of negative things that come like additives, preservatives, pesticides, GMO foods, and so on that kill the good bacteria within our system. So there are certain kinds of food that really help. These are natural things. Let's say like garlic and leek and onions, you all know about the properties of these things. These are prebiotics. Prebiotics feed your good biotics or good bacteria, right? So turmeric, capers, we're going to talk about this a little bit later. As far as probiotic foods are basically food that they have been fermented. Okay, so you want to increase your probiotics. What do you get? You get yogurt with live culture. You get sour cream. You get sauerkraut, which is fermented cabbage. You get kimchi, which is fermented vegetables. You have miso, which is the fermented tofu, for example, soy paste. Pickles, kombucha. Kefir, which is another fermentation of milk. So these are all very good to have every day, almost with every meal. The more you have of these, the better it is for the general health of your microbiomes. There are certain foods, as I have been mentioning, or certain kinds of behavior that kills the good bacteria and allows the bad bacteria to grow. What are these? Antibiotics. When you eat antibiotics, especially antibiotics are very important to fight certain kinds of infection, bacterial infection. But if you take antibiotics without reason, that would be harmful. Sugars would be very harmful. Gluten in lots of the wheat product would be very harmful. Stress is harmful. So now we talked about what we need to eat and what we don't need to eat. So the question is, who needs supplementation? Who needs to take pills? How many of you take vitamins and mineral substitutes and 2 spoons of this and 3 pills of that every day? And so I'm here to say, be skeptical of immune boosting people, especially right now. There are a lot of snake oil preparations that are being sold. So don't trust when you see these things, don't trust these labels. First of all, is that there is no direct link that if you increase one element like selenium or if you increase vitamin D by itself, that is going to do anything specific. The question is, we need to have all of these elements and we need to provide an internal environment where all the enzyme and all the hormones and all the minerals and all the vitamins work together. So one of them in isolation is not going to be very useful. Vitamin D is the only exception to this rule. And so especially for children and older people, this is definitely a must. I would always say that if it makes you feel better, just choose one multivitamin. Make sure that it has enough zinc and selenium and copper in it. And that would be enough. The rest you should eat from normal everyday food. Eat a healthy diet and you would get most of what you need. In addition to that, there are special cases of people who have particular problems with their immune system. So if your immune system is weak because of severe infections or whatnot, there is a product called colostrum powder containing immunoglobulins that you could get. It is over the counter, so you could get it from health food or pharmacies. And that would be a good immune boosting things. Otherwise, if you have a primary immune deficiency, you need to have shots, injections of immunoglobulins that you could not get this without the prescription or supervision of your doctors. So keep that in mind. Once again, there are a lot of things that you have in your home, in your kitchen, or you should have, that could be very beneficial to you, including echinacea, ginseng, aloe vera, turmeric powder, green tea, garlic, ginger, and raw honey. All of these products are products that help and improve the gut environment as a whole. Remember what I said, that it's not only what you eat, but how you live and everything that you do that impacts your immune system. So let's now concentrate on a few lifestyle changes that we could make in order to help a better, healthier, and stronger immune system. The first, of course, is to eat healthy. We talked about that. The second is to increase your daily activity. Now, remember, daily activity is different from exercise. Daily activity keeps you from accumulating fats, and it would make your muscles better. It would allow your organs to function better. So use regular activity. Optimum physical activity per day, you should aim for 8,000 to 10,000 steps per day. The next thing is exercise, and we need to do exercise regularly. And the distinction between activity and exercise is that exercise should increase your heart rate so that you could pump blood through your veins so that you could wash away any cholesterol accumulation or any other problem. There are many, many different benefits to exercise. We do not have time to discuss all of them, but it is to reduce risks for all sort of diseases, chronic diseases, and to improve overall functionality of the body. The next one is to stop smoking. Especially with immunity, the particles that go into our lungs create damages, and especially now with this virus that primarily attacks the lungs, you do not want to add burden to already stressed organ. So stop smoking generally. Next is to reduce the amount of alcohol. It has become a culture, or it's like a work ethics to drink alcohol, and as if you could drink a lot of alcohol, you are better at your job. It isn't. You are not being helpful to your own body. So the idea is that most adults should have, they have a limit, should be one or two drinks at a time. So reduce your alcohol consumption. The next is to drink more water. The more water you could, the more water you drink, the better your body functions. Remember that our body is 80% liquid, water, right? And so the more we drink, the better we function. I have included a slide about the benefits of water, so you could study it, but particularly for your digestive health, for your weight problems, for your energy levels, and for good skin and hair, you need to drink lots of water. An adult male should drink about 3 liters per day, and an adult woman about 2 to 2.5 liters a day. When I say water, I mean liquids, but liquids that don't have sugar. So Coke does not consider as your water drinking, although it does have fluids in it. But we talk about water, tea, coffee, even, but flavored teas and herbal teas. The next recommendation is to get sleep. Sleep is one of the most important factors in reducing stress. Remember, stress was one of the detrimental factors to our immune system. So our first line of body's natural ability to recuperate and to strengthen itself is sleep. Most adults need between 7 to 9 hours of sleep. That's why 8 hours come from. It's an average. So make sure that you get enough sleep and the sleep is restful. There are many different ways that you could improve your quality of sleep, and hopefully that would be the subject for future discussions and talks. The next recommendation is to get regular medical screening tests. That means that at least once a year we need to have a checkup. And this checkup would give us indication if we are nutritionally deficient in any ways, if we are in right path. So please make sure that you get regular medical screening. Be hygienic, especially these days. The number one thing is to wash hands and to very, very carefully regulate your behavior so that you would not get contaminated. Do not touch your face. Wash your hands after touching anything, and so on and so forth. This is very important. I think I'm going to stop here. Perhaps the last thing that I want to say that I have been talking about is about stress, just to make my list of 10 lifestyle changes complete. Sleep separate, but also try to reduce your stress levels through finding ways to bring joy to yourself, relaxation, spending time, getting your rhythm back, so to speak. So stress reduction is very important. Manage your stress.